This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
There's a quarter on the ground. Will you bend down and pick it up?
Yeah.
Because I will not.
Oh my God, look at this guy.
Wills and won'ts. Will eat a Cobb salad in a movie theater.
Yep.
Won't pick up a quarter.
No, I cannot tell you the last time I used a coin in a transaction. Did I flip a coin once in the last 3 years? I think I've used a coin flipping app more recently than I've used a coin.
I'm going to have a trail of quarters from here to your car for $10. You're going to pass those 40 quarters, not pick a single one of them up, and then I'm going to take them.
I would rather you give me $3 on one of these apps than you give me $10 in quarters.
Wow. This is not a mindset to become a millionaire.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
What if we decided to add Coin Watch to the list of things that we track? You said you can't remember the last time you used a coin in a transaction.
Uh-huh.
Let's put it on the board. Let's get a counter up. Have you used a coin since?
No chance.
All right. Cash?
The last time I used cash.
Because you know you can turn those coins into cash.
Yeah, I know. I gotta be honest, if there was a dollar bill on the ground right now, I probably wouldn't pick it up just because the ground is like a sloppy mess.
It'd be frozen to the ground.
Or it would be, you know, if it's in the slop that everybody's walking through. I don't want that.
Winter weather advisory on the way, by the way, today.
Really?
Yeah.
When is the last time I've used cash? The last time I used cash. What do you have to use cash for is the answer now.
Sometimes parking.
Not anymore, though.
Sometimes.
Not anymore.
Right. You have to use cash at certain bars.
I was going over this with my dad when we went to the Sabre game a couple weeks ago, and he is like, I don't know. He has to rule certain parking places out because he's the opposite. He won't do the app.
Oh, okay.
Like the place that I park. Often you walk in or you drive in and they just give you the card with the QR code on it. That's it. Here you go.
Okay.
Fill out, scan it. So no, not for parking.
How about this? I just used cash last week for shoe repair. There's one. Picked up a pair of shoes that were repaired.
Like an old timey, like mom and pop shoe repair.
Yep.
Like in Seinfeld.
Cash.
Yeah. Cash.
Cash on shoe repair.
Okay. Is it a cash-only business or you just chose to do
cash?
No,
it's cash-only.
Cash-only.
Yeah. You have to use cash. There you had to use cash.
I don't know what my answer to this is going to be. It's been... I bet I haven't used cash this calendar year yet. That would be my guess. Okay. Right. I don't think I've used cash this calendar year.
And certainly not a coin.
No. Please, I don't think I've seen a coin this calendar year.
Wow. Look at you.
No. Unless use coin for golfing now on a ball marker more often than I would use it for anything.
There's a good answer.
Spending.
Last time you used a quarter was to mark a ball on a green.
Yes.
All right, fair enough.
That might be more likely.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe with you. It's a wintry Wednesday. It's wintry all the time now. This has been a pretty gripping winter. where it just got its grip on us and hasn't relented.
Yeah.
Snow's coming in today about 2 or 3 o'clock. Listening to WBEN on the way in. Again, winter weather advisory for the next 24, 36 hours. It's going to snow. And I guess this is the run of events. It's going to snow, and then it's going to get warmer and rain, and then it's get colder and snow again. And the big question is, will the rain melt the previous snow, or will it glacierize it like it did last week when I walked out of my house and my entire backyard looked like a glacier and the streets were frozen over? So,
yep.
Winter weather advisory, be advised that it could get a little nasty in the next couple days.
When are we going to start getting this warm-up? Come on. Like, I'm not looking forward to that either. I just mentioned, like, there was a $10 bill on the ground when it's like the black soupy slop on the ground when the ice is melting. Yeah, I don't want that. But we got to go through it eventually.
I'm at the Farmer's Almanac. And yeah, how about that? Did you know that they have a website?
No, I did not know that.
60-day extended weather forecast for Buffalo. So,
All
right, I'm into March now. If I'm looking for long range, very cold early March, rain, rainy, mild by March 8th, it says. And then March looks mild, but the temperature, no, cold still. So
we still got a ways to go?
Yeah. Yeah, it's still going to be cold.
All right.
So maybe May?
All right.
I don't know. I'm doing my best here. Anyway, good morning. It's going to be wintry, and you have all that coming. Sal's going to join us at 7 o'clock to chat about the Bills, and he has a piece up the state of the wide receiver position, which means I am all in for that, ready to chat about that. Scott Wilson joins us at 8:30 to talk about the Pete Lembo contract extension. Great news for UB to get him extended and some of the things that come with that. So we'll talk to Scott Wilson coming up at 8:30. And Stephen Ruiz of The Ringer at 9, who has been arguing with people about whether or not Jalen Hurts is good. Because he's not exactly been the biggest, not a fan of Hurts, just he's not one of these top quarterbacks. He's good in a system and whatever. He played supremely well, but this is not the kind of game you put Jalen Hurts in the top. We'll talk to Stephen Ruiz about all the quarterbacks, about the Bills' path forward, all that stuff. NFL writer for The Ringer.
Yep. He is also got some MVP takes, I think, on Josh Allen a little bit, so see what we get to with him a little bit. Sal also, I think, had state of the running backs also a few days ago, so we can get him on that quickly. There's not as much to figure out, though, I think. On that. Is that just, hey, they're going to re-sign Ty Johnson? And that's pretty much the entirety of the position?
The big thing to figure out is, are they going to pay James Cook? Are they going to be a team that's shrewd about the running back position, or are they going to pay James Cook?
Sure. Okay. And whether they'll do that now versus will they do that in, like, they won't do that in season, right? There would be a risk to that, too, by the way, which is if you pay him now, you know, you might still get a somewhat reasonable price. I'm not sure, but if you wait and he has another year like he just did, not saying that's a bad thing, just, you know, you might be setting yourself up for him to price you out.
Yeah, well.
Did you see the Dalvin Cook tweet during the AFC Championship? His brother?
No, but I have a James Cook Instagram comment to tell you about.
Oh, okay.
So what's the Dalvin Cook tweet?
The Dalvin Cook tweet, his brother tweeted during the AFC Championship game. I'm going to get it exactly here. But it essentially was about, like, he needs to get his money. Here, that payday can't come soon enough.
Okay.
100-100.
And Dalvin Cook would know this. I mean, Dalvin Cook had a flash pan career.
Okay, he had another one. So he had that, and then he quote tweeted the highlight of James Cook reaching for the goal line. The NFL tweeted that out, the amazing touchdown that he scored against the Chiefs. And Dalvin Cook tweeted above it, $20 million per year.
Okay, well, $20 million's not realistic, and everybody knows that. A running back is not going to get $20 million. The Bills are not going to pay James Cook $20 million a year. We know that.
But James, this is the voice in his it's been in his ear right now. Saying that he's seriously telling him $20 million, but
well, I've got an Instagram comment from him. You want his voice?
Yeah, sure.
$15 million.
Oh, he put a number on it too.
He on Instagram pinned his own comment, $15 million a year.
Wow.
So take that for what it's worth.
He talked his brother down $5 million, I guess.
a little bit.
Maybe his brother was just saying, hey, that's a heck of a play. Because in the AFC Championship game, of course, he was amazing and made a couple incredible plays. But $15 million a year for Cook. Here's the thing about running backs, family, football. Everybody loves running. This has always been true, right? The running back is always the most popular guy on the team.
Yeah.
If you're good and he's good, that's it. It's maybe the hardest position for the layperson fan, like hand up here, to see when he doesn't run the right way or it's blocked perfectly and he just runs through. Yards over expected is something I'm thinking about for all this. And Cook was explosive for them this year. Lots of big runs. Tied for the league lead in touchdowns. I mean, I traded for him in Dynasty in week two, and that exploded to great returns. So I was thrilled with Cook all year for Dynasty purposes also. But what's the smart thing to do? The Eagles just went out and paid Saquon Barkley big money. He is undisputably one of the best running backs in football. Derrick Henry, undisputably one of the best running backs in football. Is James Cook top five?
Do you know what Henry's contract was, though? Mm-mm. Like, I mean, his age maybe plays into this.
Henry's 1 year, no, 2 years.
2 years, $16 million, so $8 million per year.
For Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I mean.
I mean, he's 30 again. So
he's
like
30.
That would affect the term, but you wouldn't think the money as much. But
that would indicate
it did.
He's already made his money. Maybe he's not pushing in. He's trying to go win a Super Bowl. He takes $8 million with a team he thinks is going to get there.
There are five running backs that make more than $10 million per year. That's it.
Okay, it's going to be Jacobs.
Jacobs makes $12
million. McCaffrey.
McCaffrey makes $19 million per year.
Barkley.
Barkley's 12.5.
Is it easy after that?
Fairly. These would be top fantasy picks more so a couple years ago rather than like, right now. But they're still pretty good.
I want to say this just because the team is dumb with money, but Kamara?
Kamara.
Okay.
12.25 million.
That's gettable because of that. Yep. And then after that, Mixon.
No, Mixon just under at 9.8.
Okay. Because I know they signed him and then gave him big money.
Right. A couple guys that just go under that just signed. Maybe these would be comparables. Like James Conner signed in season this year, $9.5 million with Arizona. Chuba Hubbard just signed in season with the Panthers this year, $8.3 million. Before the year, I think Ramondre Stevenson signed. He was $9 million. Like that was the class that you might have been thinking for Cook. The other one's Jonathan Taylor. He's second, $14 million. So, all right, James Cook, you want $15 million a year? But per year, that would make him the second highest paid running back in football.
Would the Bills do it? I mean, he wants
make
15.
Him the second highest paid running back in football.
There's nothing wrong with him going out there and putting, it's a contract negotiation. First off, he's not even a free agent. It's an extension.
Right.
So
right.
That's where he loses some leverage. He would have to go to the market next year where you could hit everybody to try and maximize the most. But 15, would the Bills do it?
They're not giving him $15
million. Well, they give him 10.
I think that's more likely for like right now. Like, hey, James, we know you want 15. If you want to play out the season not without an extension and you want to, you know, you want to earn the $15 million, we're not even saying we wouldn't be the team to give it to you in a year, but then you got to go through another year. If you want to sign the extension right now, here's the price. It's 10. Like, I think that's more likely for what their approach would be and what the numbers could look like. Because to me, you know, I'm not team running back. I haven't really been ever, but is that bad? $10 million would make him the sixth highest paid running back in football. It's in line with Mixon, and if you factor in the inflation of the cap, it puts him in line with like James Conner, but he just got in Arizona. Is he as good as James Conner? Like, James Conner's not like these guys, Stevenson and Hubbard and Conner, these are not superstar backs.
No, that's right.
So you're not putting him in the McCaffrey tier. You're not even really putting him in the Barkley tier. So I would be open to that if I were the Bills.
It just seems like the running back position is one where you could be really shrewd and just say we're never going to sign a second contract. I mean, the Bills
you could
have drafted so many running backs in the middle rounds. It's kind of silly. I would say they probably shouldn't have done that with Singletary and Moss and Cook and now Ray Davis. But okay, whatever. I mean, if they'd spent all those picks on defensive tackles instead, you know.
Yeah.
We might have something.
Yeah.
Whatever. They need running backs. And they value the position, obviously. For Cook, $10 million a year, I think you laid it out pretty well. If you want to just fine, you're paying a back that gets the ball a lot that you trust. Do they not trust him in pass blocking? Is that something they want to trust him in the future? Because the most important drive of the season, he's not on the field because they don't really trust him in pass blocking.
Right.
And he had a pretty bad pass block rep earlier on the drive that took him out. I think, was it Eric Turner that broke that down? Or maybe it was Joe Marino, one of them, talked about how his last pass block rep was pretty rough. All right, is that still $10 million a year? It might be. I wouldn't say it's going to be some kind of killer for your cap, but if you want to be shrewd at any position, which teams can be, then one great position to do it at is running back. And just draft a guy. And they've shown they're willing to draft guys in the past, probably too early.
Yeah, or even, I mean, what is Ray Davis for this? Is Ray Davis not enough of this because he's a fourth-round pick?
Yeah.
I mean, a guy that they would be interested in seeing, like, can he be a lead back after next year? Like, I don't know. Like, he was good. He was fine. And there are a lot of running backs who are drafted even lower than he was that end up, like, Pacheco in Kansas City. He just ended up earning it. He got a shot at it and he earned it. So I wouldn't rule out even Ray Davis being able to earn that spot. But, yeah, like, That to me sounds like a better idea. Just let me draft a guy in the third round next year even. You let Cook walk and you run it back. If your line is great and you have pretty good backs, I still want to feel like that's good enough. Despite the fact that I know Barkley just went to the Super Bowl, and Henry had the season that he did. I still would want to feel like I don't have to pay that guy that money if I don't want to. If he were to really hold the line on $15 million, I wouldn't feel any pressure to feel like I have to do that.
No, that's right. That's right. That's an easy no, but that's anybody in a negotiation is going to shoot high and then come down. I'm going to shoot 15, and if I come in at 11, I'm thrilled, right? If you're James Cook.
Yep.
Again, it is an extension. You know, we've got a small problem, Joe. Twitter only allows you to put four options in a poll, and there are five options for a very important question, which is, who's the most important to bring back? Cook, Shakir, Bernard, Benford, or Rousseau? Right. There are five extension candidates, really.
Right.
Who's the most important? I guess we could probably take Cook out of there, because
I think he would
get the fewest votes for most important.
Or would you want to take away the guy that would get the most votes? Like, hey, I don't know. We don't really have a clear answer to that.
Yeah. Who's number one and who's number five for extension candidates? The list is Cook, Shakir, Benford, Rousseau, Bernard.
Think
about it in your head. 803-0550. I can't put it on. I'd love to put it on a Twitter poll and we can just kind of build off it from there. But if I leave one name off, I will get 1,000 responses. How could you leave so and so off?
What about Blue Sky? Does Blue Sky have the option? I don't think they have polls.
I don't see any five option polls.
Okay.
I would definitely say Cook is not the most important. I'm not sure he's last, but I'm positive he's not the most important.
Well, where does he rank and how good he is at his position compared to the other five? Is he or the other four? Is he maybe number one?
He might be.
He might be number one for it.
Relative to his position, Benford has the case for that. Benford, for PFF, was cornerback 6 on the year.
He got a defensive player of the year vote, which I'm pretty sure was Aaron Schatz because he was very high on him all year, but I don't think Schatz has said that.
If you're going on irreplaceability, difficulty to replace, the loose rating I would go for is Benford, Rousseau, Bernard,
I mean,
Shakir, Cook.
Cook might be a top. He is even might.
And that might not even be fair to Shakir.
He's a top 10 back. Like, I think that's pretty. I don't know how controversial that would be. Like, he doesn't block, and that has really limited his ability to be a pass catching back, I think. Which is why Ty Johnson did it this year. He has all the numbers you want, right? The volume stats, if you go in deeper and look at what he creates over expected, those are really high. Yards after contact for him are actually pretty good, too, just given his size. So the other guys will play positions that I would still think are just more valuable, especially corner and defensive end. Middle linebacker, maybe Bernard wouldn't be in contention for me for number one on this. Like, I don't know. He's good and he makes splash plays, but there's a little more inconsistency, I think, with him. And he's not a star, but I don't think at the position. He's pretty good. So, I don't know. I might go Benford personally would be my number one. I didn't mention Shakir there, though.
No, and when I ran it down, I put Shakir fourth, and that sounds like an insult to Shakir. But
well, here's another way to approach it. Who would you be most scared of losing? Because I might want to answer Shakir just because of I don't want them to be barren at wide receiver. You know,
like, here's a way to say it.
He was the only guy that was consistent week to week. Like every week, you knew Shakir was involved, and then throw a dart at who the other two guys were going to be.
Yeah, who are you afraid of losing? It's an expansion draft. Protect four of these five guys. That's positional value. That's everything. Like,
and it's what I'm at the position, and it's that I need three guys at that position
for sure.
And he needs to be one of them, I think, because I don't really feel super confident in who the other two are going to be going forward.
Well, we're going to talk about the state of the receiver position with Sal. He has his latest up at WGR550.com, state of the wide receiver position. So we'll get to that. Shakir's in the mix there. And, you know, he goes from a nice, scrappy, useful, efficient, dynamic player. Like, those are all compliments.
Yeah.
To a well-paid one pretty soon. And I don't expect him to go north of, boy, if he went north of like $20 million, that'd be tough. Amon-Ra St. Brown is the gold standard for what he does, and that guy got 30. Shakir, the Bills just let Gabe Davis walk, and he got 13. Did Gabe get, or was it 18? Whatever. Gabe got paid good money, and the Bills, it was easy to walk away from. Shakir, I don't know. I get the sense that he's obviously a really good receiver. And at the state of the wide receiver position, extending him would give you your connection with Allen. He's what people maybe hoped Kincaid was going to be, the guy that owns the middle of the field. When they drafted Kincaid and tried to put him in that role, Shakir couldn't get on the field at that time. Right. And think about the Cincinnati playoff game. When they bring back Beasley off the street, Shakir is on the team and couldn't get on the field.
Right.
So his blossoming came, and now he offers them a lot of stability there. I think an extension for Shakir makes sense. You know, nothing crazy there. But whether or not he's worth $22 million,
ooh,
right, that gets
that
expensive.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things about Everybody Eats that was able to fly. We kind of got into it last week. Everybody Eats meant that nobody had to get the ball. And once you start paying guys, or once you start looking at draft status, while we don't like to do it in season, Sal's even said it. You draft a tight end in the first round like Dalton Kincaid, he's got to be a factor. You've got to find a way to get him the ball because you clearly thought he could bring something.
Yeah.
And Shakir, you know, nice season last year. If he becomes a $20 million receiver, all of a sudden it's make sure Shakir's a big part of this game because you're paying for him to be a big part of it. And people don't like it when expensive players are not a part of wins. All of a sudden, people start looking at that. It's one of the tough parts about being a wide receiver. If you keep your mouth shut and don't contribute, you're not worth it. And if you complain, then you're a problem in that way, too.
See, how different is that with Shakir, though, than what we just saw? Like, he didn't have a single game. Actually, week one, I guess. So, week one and the Jet game. Okay, so there were two. Two games where he had 2 and 3 targets. Every other game, he had at least 5. Every other game, he had at least 5 targets. And most of these 6, 7, 8, there was a 10, there was a 12 in there.
Seattle was a big game.
Like, how different would that be from what they just did? Like, did they not just kind of go through a season where, all right, we need to make sure Shakir gets the ball 5, 6 times in this game?
He had as many targets as pretty much as Xavier Worthy did this year. And the people think about, if you talk to a lot of Bills fans that call us, they would have called Xavier Worthy a gadget player or a role player. Khalil Shakir had 2 more targets than Worthy on the season.
I would say Shakir, this is not meant as a criticism to him, because I think when the gadget stuff works, then I'm fine with you being called a gadget guy.
Right.
Shakir was more of a gadget guy this year than Worthy was, wasn't he?
I'm not so sure. I mean, it depends on your definition of that. He was a reliable, easy button guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying Worthy was more often running routes down the field, running comeback routes and, you know, running by guys and deep posts, just like more of a full route tree.
Yeah.
Shakir was a lot of screens and, you know, the orbit motion where he'd run behind Allen, he'd run out to the left and they throw it to him there. Like, again, I'm not even saying it was a bad thing. I think it worked. It worked a lot. And on top of the gadget stuff, I think he also was their slot receiver.
Yeah.
So maybe it's similar, right? Shakir and Worthy were both the gadget guys in their offense. And then they added an element on top of it. Shakir, it was, I'm your slot, easy button guy. And Worthy, it was, I'm your downfield guy.
We started with James Cook and a comment on Instagram Live where he says $15 million a year. He's up for an extension. Shakir, Benford, Bernard, Rousseau. As we talk about these bills going forward, you know, lay out the order of what you like, of who's important. And we'll talk about the state of the wide receiver position with Sal coming up at 7 o'clock as well. So Sal at 7, Stephen Ruiz from The Ringer at 9, Scott Wilson on the Pete Lembo extension at 8:30. Worst Call Wednesday, I'm excited for that. Got a big noisy buzzer for Worst Call Wednesday. And plenty more to come as well. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Joe and I are also going to draft something, which is going to be fun.
I'm very excited.
We've got a draft scheduled on the heels of Kellen Moore being introduced by the Saints. Yeah, we find our way to a draft. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He was playing like a man possessed really the entire year. I mean, the way that he ran the ball, you know, he ran angry. That play that he made on fourth down, it was an unbelievable play for him reaching out like that on fourth down, given the moment. And that was a special play made by a special player. You know, and every year that he's been in the league, he's gotten better, and, you know, looking forward to continuing that next year.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen on James Cook. We're going to do state of the receivers today with Sal a little bit. We still are, but Cook posting on Instagram Live a comment about $15 million a year and pinning it as well. I'm told on Instagram
pinning
Live
it.
That's what it means something, right?
Yeah.
When you pin it.
It matters what your pinned tweet is. I know
sure,
that.
Sure. I know how to pin tweets. You know, going on Instagram Live and pinning comments, that's a little bit past my pay grade. Anyway.
What's your pinned tweet right now?
It's about my text club that you can join.
Okay.
Yeah, go to my Twitter. I text breaking sports news and takes and all that stuff.
I should update mine. Mine's a tweet stat comparison of Nick Foles and Eli Manning having the same stats in their careers.
Oh, playoffs, that's right,
playoffs and regular season.
I should give a belated congratulations. You were not here on Friday when the Hall of Fame class got announced, and we found out that Eli was not going in.
He is not in.
I felt terrible. I felt like we should be throwing a party, but
for at least another. I should have had all that confetti that they had for Nick Wright at the the show. You after the Chiefs lost.
You should have been like the 72 Dolphins popping champagne. Another year's gone by. He didn't get in.
I actually don't dislike Eli Manning. I actually enjoy him a lot. He's so much more likable, I think, after his career has ended. But no, that was it was good to troll.
It was a good day
troll
for you.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you can join us.
We can do it again next year.
Yeah, there you go. 803-0550. There's a YouTube poll up. This is our first ever YouTube poll. We're learning, guys. We're going along. We're doing everything we can here. Should the Bills pay top five running back money to James Cook? Yes. No, I'll top out at it's not 5 to 10 million. It's supposed to be ranked 5 to 10. Sorry. That's the specifics on like top 5 to 10 running back money. Running back 11 is Derrick Henry at 8 million.
Yeah.
And James Cook is definitely gonna ask for more than 8 million a year. So top five, yes, maybe 5 to 10, or no, don't pay running backs.
I wonder if that's where the Bills would be though. Like I have no sense for what they would want on that front. Like, we know what Cook wants. He's made it very clear.
Yep. As much money as possible. Which, by the way, no problem with him wanting that. Someone in the YouTube chat said he better be careful, mm-hmm. or he'll be irrelevant like his brother. His brother did it right because his brother got a big contract.
His brother also, I think, held out.
His brother got a 5-year, $63 million deal and faded away quickly. And every running back's got to know that's how this works, right? And listen, of any position, you don't have time. You've probably got one crack at this, so you got to make sure you get as much as you can. You got to secure the bag because your career is going to be over fast. Delvin Cook went from really explosive back with the Vikings to the Jets bringing him in, and it's over.
Yeah.
It went fast for Delvin Cook.
You know, there's dots that are now connecting in my head a little bit about Cook on this front, and I wonder what type of offseason we're headed for with him, if any. Because he's going into a contract year. He's made it clear what he wants. He's already sending out the amount of money he wants. His brother is doing the same thing, but it's not him. His brother's in his ear, though. And his brother, just reading about, like, he didn't quite hold out into training camp. Maybe he did for a couple days, but he held out throughout the whole offseason. And it was, he said, I'm going to hold out until I get the deal I want. So he wasn't at all the offseason stuff for Minnesota that year, and they ended up paying him. So he got his deal. But, right, what is he telling his brother? He's probably telling him, like, you got to do it. You got to get it done now. Contract year, the age, the way it works, the position. Like, look how quickly I was out of the league after I signed my extension. It was three years, basically, and he was toast. And at the same time, Cook, everything sounds like he's just a different person since the beginning of his career. Like, McDermott has talked about Cook in the AFC Championship game, even, right? Cook yelling at him on the sideline. Like, he likes it.
Yep.
Like, he talked about that it's that backfield is competitive. Guys want the ball. And I bet he's talking about Cook a lot. If Cook's the one that's yelling at him on the sidelines, he was pretty vocal about not making the Pro Bowl, right? When he didn't make it, like, he was right out there on social media, like, I should have been in the Pro Bowl. So, you know, he's more fiery. I think he is, you know, as much as everybody eats, sounds like it has to be the end-all, be-all. I think it's fine if a guy wants the ball. And maybe Cook, there was a little bit of that this year. I don't know. Everything kind of sounds like he is going to want to get paid. And that maybe he would be willing to say, all right, you don't want to pay me going into my contract year? All right, I'm not showing up. I'm not sure if he actually wouldn't show up, but again, like, I would be thinking about it. I would at least be thinking about the possibility that he could pull that card.
Sure. His total value of his contract, Cook, on 4 years.
So second-round rookie deal?
Second-round rookie deal, 4 years, is worth $5.8 million. So he's...
That's the total?
That's the total.
Wow. That's wild.
That's total. And I'm looking at Dalvin Cook here. When Dalvin Cook signed his extension, he played 3 years, Joe, and then got an extension. On the final year of his
And he was a second-round pick.
He was.
Yeah.
He had made $4.9 million and then was holding out, got his contract, and the cash he made in year one of the new deal, which would have been his fourth season, so the extension kicks in right away, $16.4 million. So basically, if James Cook is following his brother's lead, which I wouldn't have, honestly, I don't have any problem if he wants to do this. This is how it works. It's what you have to do. I'm going to go in the final year of a deal. I might blow out my knee and my career is over. I'm basically risking, what, $15 million for a year?
Right.
Not even $15 million per year. I'm talking just $15 cash right up front to play for you and do the best I can. And if I get a knee injury, it's over for me. So I think the idea of a Cook holdout could happen. The Bills have also, if you think about this, how many guys have they let go to the final year of a deal and say, we're going to bet on ourselves? They did that with Gabe.
They did it with Gabe. They did it with Jordan Poyer.
Yes,
right?
Because
we were wondering about him, and he ended up just showing up.
To me, Gabe is the more interesting one because Gabe Davis is a really productive player for them for three full seasons. And that year going into training camp, we wondered if he would get paid, if the Bills would pay him. And Davis was willing to say, I'll bet on myself. And he played without a contract.
Yeah.
And same kind of thing. Gabe Davis on a four-year or a round four contract made no money. Bet on himself, risked it, went to free agency, got paid. Good for him. If he fades away, it doesn't matter. He got a lot of guaranteed money, which is what he was trying to do. And maybe, you know, his career bounces back in Jacksonville. Who cares? Like, these guys are you know, playing football to play. Mm-hmm. But the way the draft works, when you get to this spot, I'll never forget the time you and I were playing in one of these Bills media events, and Dawson Knox we were playing with Dawson Knox and Jay Kumerow.
Yeah.
And this is a story about like something Dawson Knox said that's not, you know, any sort of state secret. But he and Kumerow were talking about a player, I forget even who it was, in the league. And Knox just simply said, he get paid? Mm-hmm. And that stuck in my head as something where when you're a player in the NFL, there are 2 days in your life, the day you get drafted and the day you get paid. The day you get paid is a very different day. James Cook, oh, you're going to Buffalo, 4 years. It'll be $5 million for your 4 years. If it goes well, you'll write your name on a piece of paper, and it'll guarantee you $50 million. That's the second day in your NFL career. And that's what Cook's going to be after, is that day.
He gets less money per year right now than Nyheim Hines does. Who's on? Could you even tell me what team he's on?
That's nuts.
He's on Cleveland, by the way, if you're interested. It's everybody.
That's nuts.
The names: Chase Edmonds, Samaje Perine, Daria Gumbawale, Trey Benson, Zach Charbonnet, Jeff Wilson, Amir Abdullah.
Makes more than James
Really,
Cook.
It's anybody on a second contract.
Right.
Anybody on it, but DJ Dallas.
Even a bum,
of the Cardinals.
A bum second contract.
A bum second contract is going to be higher. The thing that's interesting, though, is those are all good comparisons. I have no earthly idea what the Bills will operate like at this position with a second contract, because they've never done it the whole time they've been here, right? This is year nine, right, of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. They've never, to my knowledge, maybe it was a smaller one. Have they ever done a second contract negotiation with a running back?
The only thing they did was they gave McCoy an extension to come.
When what? They traded for him?
When they traded for him.
But that wasn't McDermott and Bean. That's
you're right.
That's
sorry,
Rex.
Sorry.
That's Rex and Whaley.
Sometimes I forget those like 2 years of Rex existed.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
right. You're right. You're right. They've not paid a running back.
They've never paid.
They've shuffled in third guys all the time. They've drafted. It's almost like,
have they even extended like brought back a guy in a 1 year deal that was like a lesser name guy,
a Ty Johnson?
I don't even know that they've done that. Just not that it even matters to this, because this is bigger, but I don't know what they think. I don't know what they would think in this spot. Singletary never really pushed them to this limit, right? Like, he never had the season Cook just did. Cook is good. Singletary was fine the whole time he was here, and he was a starting running back for, like, what, 4 years? But he never had the season James Cook just did, with 1,300 yards from scrimmage and 16 touchdowns. He never did. He never was in the argument as, oh, he might be one of the best 10 backs in football. So I guess I don't really have a good guess. If the Bills in their office right now were thinking, yeah, we're not going over 8 for him. Like, what if he wants to stay for 8, take a little bit of a hometown discount, that's the most we're ever doing for a running back. Would I be that surprised?
No.
Versus if they were saying, yeah, we would go up to 13. We'll make him one of the five highest paid running backs in football. I'm not sure I'd be surprised by that either. Like, I just don't. It's hard to know what the Bills would want to do here when there really is no prior precedent for them with a player in this position, in this situation.
You want to know the market value according to SpotTrack?
Sure.
4 years, $40
million. Exactly $10 million a year?
10.2 per year. Yep.
That's like right there. I have no idea if the Bills would be up for that.
It'll be a great exercise in will they pay a guy?
Yeah.
And will they let him go to...
When they have other guys to pay, like we went
right,
through it. They have four other guys that they're going to need to pay.
Right, Myles Garrett and... sorry. I'm jumping the gun here. 803-0550. This is one of the fun parts. I mean, maybe not fun, but football's family. We're family. We're family. McDermott raves. $10 million a year. Ooh. Are we going to break our own policy here? Are we going to do that? Or are we going to make it... I mean, ugly is one way to say it. If Cook, in fact, did want to hold out. I mean, could it get ugly? It could. It really could. We want you to go and play the final year of a 4-year deal at about $1 million. Well,
could.
My market value is 4 for $40.
It could. They've been very good at avoiding that.
Yes. They've not had too many public disputes or public
really
issues.
Right. Any.
No. Not guys that have like, needed a deal.
Poyer's agent showed up to training camp one day. That happened. That was it.
Was that?
Drew Rosenhaus was like at St. John Fisher. We're like, ooh, yeah. Someone, if something with Poyer happens, nothing happened.
803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. Give us a ring. Vote in the polls on Twitter, on YouTube. Fire us a comment and be aware. Wintry weather on the way today into tomorrow. So this is the Swedish national anthem.
They play tonight.
All right. Now, I have a question for you here.
Yeah.
The Four Nations starts tonight. If this thing doesn't have a theme song, it's not a proper tournament. You've got to have a song.
Oh, it'll have a song.
All right. Where is it? I asked Google, and it says the Four Nations has a song called Four Country, Four Nations, Four Glory. It's what it says.
Okay.
And I have not yet found that anywhere because if they're going to have this tournament, it just needs a song.
But it needs a song.
Yeah, like the Champions League. You can't have a tournament.
The only thing is, though, it's probably a one-off tournament. Like, they're probably never going to do it again, so.
That's pretty dumb. Why wouldn't they do it again? Why wouldn't they just do it? They'll do the Olympics.
Well, they'll do the Olympics, and then they're going to include more countries, aren't they?
Okay.
Like, eventually, the Russian players are going to play in this
thing. So this trophy that they're going to hand out is the only time it's ever being given out?
I would assume so.
Have you seen the trophy?
I've seen the trophy.
Is it more or less impressive than the TGL SoFi Cup?
Oh, I don't think I've seen the TGL SoFi Cup.
What does that look like? It's a tall cylinder that looks like something that could be described as a skyscraper on a miniature scale or a racing trophy. I don't know. It's the SoFi Cup. It's got lights inside of it.
Oh, okay. I would say this trophy looks like the big trophy. If you were to walk into any old trophy store right now, and whatever the biggest trophy in there was, like you would, kind of generic.
Is this like when I'm playing FIFA and I'm doing just a match against anybody, and it says what format do you want? And I cycle through all the trophies and I pick Bulgaria's League One trophy.
Yeah, this is one of those trophies.
Okay,
I think.
So
it's like. Yeah, it's got the handles on it. It's got the base. Like it's a.
Can
it's
you
a
drink?
Cup.
Can you drink out of it?
Yeah, it's a cup.
Oh, it's a cup.
It's definitely a cup.
Let me see. Okay,
it's a trophy.
That looks kind of nice.
Now, if you forgot about it, I'm sure you did. What the last time they played a best on best international tournament was the World Cup of Hockey in 2016. Is it better or worse than the trophy that they had for the 2016 World Cup of Hockey?
That thing is a horrible
trophy.
Which
looked like a giant vase.
It looks like a wastebasket.
That's what
that looks like.
A wastebasket.
The World Cup of Hockey, they played silver wastebasket.
Here's another picture. It was like metal, but there was a clear like exterior kind of.
That's a trash can.
It looks
they played for a trash can? That's what that is.
Yeah.
Well, at least the Four Nations is not a trash can. You can tweet a picture of that so people can see that.
Yes.
We'll see if we can post it somewhere. I did not realize they played for a trash can in 1996.
Not, 2016.
2016. Oh, sorry.
Not that long ago.
Oh, that was the North America one?
This is the Team North America one.
Joe's wearing his Team North America.
I'm rapping it. I still have it.
North America shirt.
I heard Eichel say yesterday that he still has all of his gear from Team North America. Like, all those dudes, they love that tournament.
He didn't put up a ton in that tournament. Didn't he have, like, a sick pass to McKinnon on one play or something? I feel like he made one play in that tournament.
He did not do much. What I remember is he was, like, centering the second line, but it was Matthews and McDavid on the top line together that was just, like...
Yeah, electric.
I think the top line... I'm pretty sure the top line of that tournament for Team North America was McDavid centering Matthews and McKinnon.
That's all right.
It's like the greatest line you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah. All right, Four Nations tonight. Sal on the other side, state of the running back position. We'll also get his thoughts on James Cook, and we've got a little from him today on Instagram, the idea of a contract extension, what route this could ultimately go. Give us a ring if you want. We have open phone lines. You can jump in with Sal and with us, or on YouTube. You can vote in the poll there as well. Hang out, whatever. Happy Wednesday. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.